cheat friend, wasting chance that I've been given. So I'm never gonna dance again, cause when I do it's when I dance with you.
Sing the Aruba, Jamaica. Ooh, I
wanna take you to Aruba, Bahamas, come on. Pretty mama,
Largo, Montego, baby, Montego,
we'll get there fast and then we'll
take it slow.
That's where we want to go. Way down in
Aruba, Jamaica.
Oh, the line was Kokomo, you asshole.
My bad shit. I mean, my bad shit. Got that?
Yes,
I don't
yes.
dance now. I make money moves. Said I ain't got to dance. I make money moves. If I see you and I don't speak, that means I don't fuck with you. I'm a boss. You're a worker, bitch. I make bloody moves.
What the fuck?
And on that note, we are going to start the show.
Thank God.
Yeah, I'm out that Brooklyn. Now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow. But I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra. And since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem. All of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pulled me back to that McDonald's. Took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like a Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off-white Lexus. Driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy, home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata, still sipping my top. Sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high five. Nigga, I be spiked out, I could trip a referee. Tell by my attitude that I most definitely from with OG at a Yankee game. Shit, I made the Yankee hat more famous than the Yankee king. You should know I bleed blue, but I ain't a crypto. But I got a gang of niggas walking with my click though. Welcome to the melting pot. Corners where we selling rock. Africa been by the shit. Home of the hip hop. Yellow cap.
We are in the New York state of mind indeed. We are about 2 weeks out from the Super Bowl and we are here with you. We've got an excellent show plan because, quite frankly, we can't do a worse one. Greetings and salutations. Welcome back to the latest edition of Bod is War. Bod is War is brought to you by the good folks at Chairshot Radio Network in conjunction with
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And use your heads, you shall. And remember that it is almost upon us, that time of the year, that special time of the year, where if you're an American, you celebrate the resurrection of your Lord and your Savior. And what better way to commemorate the ultimate job, the ultimate sacrifice, than to go to thechairshot.com, or excuse me, go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot.com and pick up your official Jesus Did the Job chair shot shirt. Now, if that's a little too blasphemous for you, trust me, we've got a bunch of different designs out there for you. We've got old school designs. We've got new school designs. If you think Baron Corbin sucks, we got a shirt for that. If you like Corona, we got a shirt for that. Like, whatever you're into, whatever you're trying to get down with, we've got a shirt for you. And quite frankly, show your boys some love. If you enjoy what we do and the content that we provide, make sure you all go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick up your official chairshot merchandise. We're also patrons now. So if you enjoy what we do and you want a little bit more of us in your life, why wouldn't you want more of me? I'm awesome. Make sure you guys go to patreon.com/thechairshot and sign up and become an official Patreon member. Please and thank you. Thank you and please. Y'all all know me. I'm Mr. Velvet Pipes, Christopher Platt, but obviously I couldn't navigate these treacherous wrestling waters alone. So with me is the one, the only, Mr. Andrew Blaz.
You know, I love how we came off the kind of awkward episode last week, and we went right into basically alienating people as per the pot is war kind of way, where you're like the only Americans, you know, celebrate Easter, so if you're not Christian, you're not American? Is that basically what you just said? Did you just bury, like, every other religion aside from Christianity?
How in the bloody hell did you get that from what I said? I'm just making the assumption that the majority of our listeners are American. That's all.
And you said if you're American, then you're celebrating the resurrection. And, you know, there's other religions that don't do that.
I know. And I wasn't talking about them because I don't have a Muhammad did the job or a Buddha did the job shirt. We have a Jesus did the job shirt.
You can't have Jesus a Muhammad did the job. You That's can't have point. A Muhammad did the job anyway, because as we learned from South Park, they would find you and they would sue you and you would have to go into hiding.
So let me ask you this, man, to get away from your nonsense, because I brought this up a couple of weeks ago on Chairshot Radio, which debuts every Sunday on Chairshot Radio Network, and it made Ray a little uncomfortable. But, you know, Ray is just a sweetheart of a man, and I don't say that with any pretense or trying to be an asshole. Like, Ray really is just a really good dude. But I brought up that Jesus is the ultimate baby face of all baby faces, because who in the history of known existence has drawn more money than Jesus Christ?
We talked about this last week.
Did we?
I think we might have. It feels fairly recent, like it may have been a retread. But you know, I think we wanted to forget last week, so I don't blame you for throwing the question back out there.
Yeah.
It might not have made the show, but we talked about it.
let me just say this: that the voice that you all are hearing is Mr. Moderator and Mr. Commissioner, the Reverend PC Tunney.
Hola, buenos dias.
And that's all he knows of Latin language. Anywho, we actually do have a really cool show lined up for you guys today. We're going to talk about the women main eventing the Super Bowl. Kofi Mania is now official. What's going on with the legends and the part-timers, and could they be utilizing them a little bit better? The G1 Ring of Honor Super Show for Mania Weekend is officially fish grease, and another goat calls it quits. Maybe? How was that?
That was a good lead-in. I liked it.
Fair to Midland.
Yeah, I thought so.
You good.
Fair to Midland.
What?
Fair enough. that's fair. So I guess we can't think of any other baby faces that drew more money than Jesus.
He just won't let it go.
I don't know how big art was back in Jesus' time, so I don't know how well he drew money.
But Jesus is still drawing money. I mean, to this
day.
No,
he's not. He's dead. He can't draw money.
Jesus just drew some money tonight, man. Because
how do you know how artistic he is?
Listen, I really want to jump in right and now. I really want to jump in and provide you with an awesome analogy here, as I so often do, in my own opinion.
Oh yes,
but I'm not.
So you just wasted valuable airtime for that.
Or he's just trying to get away from it with awkwardness, which is a wonderful way to break the tension and go to question one.
I won't go down there. Just make sure you guys go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and pick up an official Chairshot t-shirt, please. And thank you, and please. You feel better now?
So, I felt fine in the first place.
Okay.
I think I'll go for a walk outside now. Sunshine day.
It probably won't Everybody's hurt your connection smiling. At this point.
Sunshine day. Everybody's happy. Sunshine day. Wasn't that a Brady song?
A what?
Like the Brady Bunch? I think they did sing that, yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was born in the 80s, dude.
Me too. Mel and Farmer, we the same age.
I didn't watch the Brady Bunch.
How you not watch the Brady Bunch, man?
You're white. How did you not watch the Brady Bunch?
I did not watch the Brady Bunch.
Every 80s baby grew up watching goddamn Nick at Night, man. You are not the exception, my friend. You are not the exception. Nope. That is an unacceptable answer. You know you watch Nick at Night.
Nope. When we got cable, it was dominated by college basketball and college football and ESPN.
Never watched Nick at Night.
I mean, I watched, like, when I got older, I watched some stuff, and I seen Brady, like, a few episodes, but I never watched the Brady Bunch.
But you've seen a few episodes. That's watching the Brady Bunch.
Yeah, I didn't mean I never watched it, but I didn't watch it. Like, I didn't watch it when it was on.
What are you saying, man? You're just talking words.
I watched it, but I didn't watch it. Watch it. What the fuck does that mean?
I've seen it like two or three times. That's it.
You sound like Rick James right now. You know that, right?
I'm going to fuck up your couch.
Man, what I look like, man? I got more sense than that, man, stepping on somebody's couch. Yeah, I do recall stomping on their couch. That's how you sound right now. Oh,
good God.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug, apparently.
It is. It is. Oh, boy.
I'll leave that to y'all. That's how my pay grade. I'm gateway with the occasional pill. I'm gateway and prohibition with the occasional, yeah.
I get what you're saying. I just don't. Come on. Move. Oh my God. You just went super. What the hell? Did you shut your lights off?
I think no, Undertaker's in his building now. I think the dead man's behind him now.
I can do the all white. I can do the all white in my eyes.
I don't know if y'all have seen us yet, but I think your tethered person is behind you. Somebody that's seen us just popped for that, so don't worry about it.
I haven't seen it yet. So.
Oh. Clearly, so it wasn't for y'all, but somebody saw it and popped for that right there.
We got you. You're all right, we got to go to the next. We got to go to the first topic. Fucking A.
The upper hand here in this sequence. What's the figure four? Great job by Charlotte.
Look at the position of Asuka's foot. Oh, my God.
Trying to break.
The figure eight is in.
Figure eight. Is Asuka going to tap out? Oh, my God.
Here is your winner by submission.
Gentlemen, I want you to take your arms, your hands, and raise it over your head and just kind of stretch them out a little bit. Yep, get there. Maybe get that neck going. Never stretch and tilt your head backwards when you're stretching your neck. That's bad for you. Only left and right and down. Maybe get a little core stretch in there. Loosen it up there. Get your legs loosened up because I want you to get ready, set, go, off and running on this topic. Why is the IWC so upset that Charlotte Flair beat Asuka and then follow that up with the women are main eventing WrestleMania?
Well, it's because it's the IWC, and if they didn't have something to bitch about, they wouldn't exist. I think the whole internet would just collapse into a black hole of nothingness, and yeah, that's why. There's got to be something. That's why. Doubling back to the second point you made, congratulations to the women, seriously. They're main eventing the biggest show of the year. They're main eventing the Super Bowl, and they deserve it. And this isn't some PC, everybody gets a trophy bullshit. No, these women deserve to headline WrestleMania. Politically correct, not PC Tunney. Don't give that look, all right?
Oh, that's where you're dropping that at?
Have not only dominated the storylines, but they've been the most interesting part of what happened.
You dropped out, so just continue.
Okay. But, I mean, for the better part of a year, the women have been the most interesting part of WWE television, not named NXT. And I don't even think that goes – I don't even think that's debatable at this particular point in time. So congratulations to them again as well, and it's cool. I'm digging the whole thing. Couple of points I had. You know, I felt like the WWE writers this week, they were kind of running out of steam. I don't know if they were just kind of treading water to get to next week, and then next week's show is going to be fish grease again. I'm not sure. But I didn't understand the whole concept behind the beat the clock challenge. That made no sense whatsoever. Ronda did a good job with her promo. Like, I was like legitimately irritated that she kept talking and then she dropped the mic and then she pick it up again and talk some more shit and then she dropped the mic and then she pick it back up and keep talking. Like, you're supposed to drop the mic and just keep it moving like an escalator, but the fact that she picked it up, like, irritated me and dawned on me, oh, okay, that means she's doing a good job. Kudos to her. That was brilliant. As far as Charlotte winning the title off of Asuka, I mean, it makes sense. Number one, it plays into the storyline where Charlotte is the golden gal, shout out to Blanche, and she's just handed everything by WWE, so of course they would hand her a title opportunity. It also stacks the deck against Becky Lynch and makes her overcoming even, you know, that more strong. It adds a little more cachet to the match, so now Becky Lynch has to literally go through two champions to get her moment at WrestleMania. That's a good thing. It also gives Charlotte something to do coming out of WrestleMania, because I'm assuming that means she's going to move back to the blue, or stay on the blue brand for the Fox thing, which remind me later on, I actually have a scoop on that Fox deal, but go ahead, what were you gonna say?
Can I say that's the best way I've heard it actually described in such few words?
Which word?
It gives Becky Lynch a chance to go through two champions at WrestleMania.
Well, I mean, that's why I'm Mr. MVP, baby. I make those astute points. That's why you all brought me aboard on the chair shot. So thank you, and pardon me for just one moment as I pat myself on the back. Okay, cool. Now, going to the other side of this coin, the Asuka situation. I mean, let's keep it a buck and a half. I love Asuka, but they didn't really... She wasn't factored in heavily into this whole Mania build anyway. Like, whether good or bad, right or wrong, it is what it is. It's just, it's not her year. She'll be just fine, but it's just not her year. So everything is building towards those women at WrestleMania. And quite frankly, it's the WWE. And WWE is going to WWE. I mean, they finally have done right by the blacks with the women headlining the Super Bowl. So, of course, they had to alienate the Asian delegation. Like, it's still World Wrestling Entertainment. Like, this, it is what it is. Of course, they had to go there. Right, Balls?
I suppose. Like, that's one way to look at it. But, honestly, the other way to look at it is exactly what you already said. And what the IWC has been saying for months is that Asuka's had no one to face. They haven't built up anybody credible. They bitched when they put her against Mandy Rose because nobody saw Mandy Rose as a credible threat. You know, so you can't have it both ways. Yes, yes, I know your love for Mandy PCs, but you know that's not what I wasn't talking about you.
She's a credible threat to your seed, but
just want to say hi.
Yes, but you know what I mean.
Hi, Mandy.
Okay, you knew what I mean by credible threat, and then like you can't have it both ways. Like you can't bitch that they're not giving her anything and then bitch when they actually give the title a purpose, be it a unification match, whatever this might turn into, or if it's just simply an image, be it Becky going through two champions so all of the four horsewomen can hold up gold during Mania, or if it's just for the image of Becky going through two champions, or maybe nearly beating one and then having the other one kind of cut her off so she's not quite as good as two people or something. Like, there's a lot of imagery to play with. So whatever that could be, it's still better than doing nothing.
No, and I'm not going to give WWE a pass because not even WWE, just, you know, American promoters in general, you know, when it comes to booking Asian talent. But I have to say, like, the good or bad, right or wrong, for better or worse, I feel like, and they could have done some other things without Asuka, but there was nothing for her. Again, like I said, this just wasn't her year. But I feel as if she's probably, and Balls, I know you're more versed in this than I can, so you can correct me if I'm wrong, even though I'm probably not. I feel as if she's the best book Asian talent that has come over here to the U.S. since probably, what Muda?
That's
Muda wasn't booked that great. I saw him out there because
Muda was undefeated in the 80s for a long time.
The short main event talent, or that as a main event talent when he was over here.
Yeah. No, he was always a main event talent. His first run in the 80s when he was, what, Stu Hart? He was undefeated for a while. Then when New Japan...
He's an interesting case. I apologize, man. I didn't mean to cut you off, but he's an interesting case because he's the guy that he was, you know, upper mid card at best over in Japan, but then he came over here and achieved main event status, so then he was able to go back over to Japan and he became a legend.
No, that's a fair assessment, is that, you know, Muda's grand appeal kind of helped to rocket him up in Japan and over the States. So yeah, somewhere around Muda, Ultimo, or Liger are probably the best booked Asians in the history of Asians in American promotions. But Asuka hasn't been, you know, booked that poorly. She had undefeated run. Well, you know what I mean?
But Lager and Dragon got over despite the booking. They were never seen as main event talents. That's why I threw out Muda, because he came in and he was automatically a main event talent. That's why I say that. And true, I don't mean any disrespect to Lager or Dragon. Y'all know how I feel about Lager. I don't know if y'all know how I feel about Dragon, but I feel about Dragon how I feel about Lager. I'm a bad man. Continue.
No, you're right. I get what you're saying, but I was just throwing out the three biggest names are probably them when it comes down to arguing who was the quote-unquote best booked. But, yeah, Asuka's been fine. Now, it's just the typical IWC mentality of you're not pushing who we want you to push, so we're going to complain and call it bad booking. Now, this is coming from me, who we all here know, anybody listening knows, and other shows I do know. I don't love Charlotte that much. Like, I don't think she's God's gift to women's wrestling. The match, though, was pretty good. She showed a couple layers of a personality, persona. The wrestling itself was fine. And I didn't hate it, and I like what they're doing with the title. They gave the SmackDown Women's title a purpose, something which it didn't have, which people were complaining about. Now people are fearing the unification, which, honestly, like, real talk here, the women's division is not that strong as a whole. You've got the couple big pieces, like the Four Horsewomen, Asuka and Ronda. Outside of that, mostly everybody's seen as mid-card. Like, you know, Naomi's had a few runs. Naomi's better than they push her as, but they're just not positioning her as such. You know, Carmella's had a run, but nobody sees her as a credible threat. Alexa's a four-time champ, but if you put her up against Nia Jax or Ronda, she's going to die. That's why it's best that she's, you know, just being a pretty little hostess instead of actually trying to get in the ring, because she can't run with those bulls. And Nia, better or worse, bad in the ring or not, her size is going to intimidate people and give her the push that is necessary because people just can't deal with her size. So it's a weird situation where it's very top heavy in the women's division. So something like this, where you have a three-way match.
I want to sidestep because you said something really interesting to me. And if you guys don't like it, then you can go back to what you're talking about. Okay. The funny thing is you talk about size, and in the women's division, it can't be ignored because you can't displace the fact that she could, you know, probably legitimately take care of 98% of the roster at any time if there was a legitimate fight going on just because of the size difference, right? But then you look at the men's side, and Braun Strowman is now a novelty act. A man who's not considered for the WWE title is involved, you know, some would say, you know, and you add the novelty thing to it, he's the guy who's doing the media relation thing, and he's doing the Colin Jost and the Michael Che thing, which is great. But at the same time, is he going to get the not being a WWE champion, not having a legitimate title run? Is he going to get the Kane or Big Show or even Andre treatment as far as comes to the title? So I want you guys, if you want to, talk about the difference between the men and the women and that kind of being the same dynamic treated differently.
Well, first off, I said, oh, God, because Ball said that the women's division was top heavy. And it's like, God damn, you misogynistic son of a bitch.
I didn't mean it that way. I thought that's what you popped at. I thought it was. You son
the
of a bitch.
Best Axel Foley last.
You know exactly what I mean.
But as far as Braun goes, man, he's kind of in the same boat as Asuka. It's just not his year. Like, he'll get his time to shine. But I mean, right now he's in a pretty prominent position on the card. Like, it doesn't seem like it, but I mean, you know, he's feuding with these two Jay Brones from Saturday Night Live. Well, I can't call them both Jay Brones because Michael Che is actually kind of funny, but Colin Jost is he's Jay Bro. But I mean, that's a prominent position. But then again, this is coming from a guy who popped over the whole Nicholas storyline last year at Mania. Like, that got over with me. So perhaps I'm not the best to decide what's going on. Now, as far as the Asian delegation, I could see them being pissed off because they're not really being strongly represented on this Mania card, so I understand their gripe and their beef. Like, I get that, and I sympathize with them. But, I mean, they, you know, like we said, I'm just rehashing here. They didn't have a whole lot going on with her. She is going to get on the card. I'm assuming Nakamura is going to get on the card. That's the Melafarma that really has a gripe, but that's neither here nor there. And this is just putting more heat and more smoke on your main event title match.
Yeah, I agree where it just kind of builds more heat for the main event. But when it comes down to Braun, I think Braun's going to get the Kane treatment. And I'm saying that as in he'll get a run, maybe two, as kind of the top, but it's not going to last very long. Like, they couldn't even build him as a credible monster for more than like 6 months before then he became a novelty act or a comedy act with Alexa and Team Little Big and all that other stupid shit he was fucking doing and all other stuff. So now he's in the celebrity spot, which when it comes to WrestleMania, it's a big it's a big moment in the fact that it's going to get a lot of media buzz. It's going to get a lot of attention. It's probably going to generate a couple stills that they overuse where maybe Braun throws both of them over the top or something like that. Or maybe they eliminate him and that's what the big WrestleMania moment is. I don't know.
Oh, but Jost is going to win the, what's it called, PC?
Greg and I just had this conversation today. It's the Andre the Royal Giant Memorial Battle Rumble. In addition, Andrew and I talked about it. And I want to just give credit to the man who actually came up with it. I just am trying to make it famous. But the Mike Man, the original third member of the DWI podcast, so follow him at MikeMan99.
Oh, that's who came up with the name for the Andre? Oh, but yeah. So Braun's been put in decent enough positions where he stays relevant to the public eye. But when it comes down to the size thing that you were talking about before, he's honestly not that big compared to certain people. Corbin's his size. Rowan Harper, his size. Drew McIntyre's his size. Big Show was bigger and treated like a joke for the better portion of his time in WWE. So I think that's the thing. Because, I mean, you see it a little bit now with the women, with the way they're building up the tag scene, the tag picture, the tag match, whatever you want to call it, with Beth kind of being able to go toe-to-toe with Tamina and Nia, and then she glam-slammed Tamina. So maybe that's going to be the big pop moment of Mania, is maybe Beth is going to glam-slam Nia to prove that she's not that big.
Well, speaking of pop, to kind of understand where Asuka and even Braun play in to the Mania plans, I'm going to quote my favorite Prince song. Everybody can't be on top, be on top. Like, there's only so many spots at the top of the card where Melon Farmers can be. It is what it is. And the fact that they're even, like you said, like, Braun is on TV constantly, every single week. He's being put into a prominent position. And you got to remember, Mania is all about the mainstream. And we're going to get more into this on another topic. But don't be surprised if you see some WWE people that pop up on Saturday Night Live next week, the night before Mania, just to get people excited about Mania. Like, don't be surprised if that happens. Maybe it's Braun. Maybe Braun comes and fucks up the set or whatever the case may be. But there's going to be some WWE people on Saturday Night Live next Saturday. Not this Saturday coming up, but next Saturday right before Mania. So that's a prominent spot to be in there with your, you know, with your guest host or your celebrity guest, I'll say. Now, Asuka, yeah, they could have done better by Asuka, but I mean, it is what it is at this particular point in time, and I don't think she's been booked badly. They didn't have there was nothing really there for her. I would have loved to have seen her and Naomi go out, but I mean, how long were they really going to get to tell a good story or have a decent match? Like, they weren't.
No. So there we go. I think we've kind of went around on that one enough.
Even though I disagree with you, I think the women's division is stacked. I mean, you know, if you include Raw, SmackDown, and NXT, like, there's
competition. I'm not counting NXT because they don't always do that. They're counting NXT for the tag team belts because it can go across three brands, but then they pick and choose when NXT is relevant. So the way they use NXT is why I'm saying it's not currently in a great position, because even though we've got some of the more mid-card women could go with the main events, they're not pushed that way. Like, you brought up Naomi, Carmella, you know, and then Dana Brooks never given a fair shot. Granted, she was green as fucking baby shit. Granted, you know, so I'm not saying she deserved it, but
there's a baby shit. What are you feeding your kids?
I mean, those mashed peas make shit green. Haven't you ever seen that?
Feed your baby organic food, folks.
Kids love those mashed peas. You can mash peas up organically.
Feed your baby organic food, folks. I don't care where it's from. But before we move on, PC, can you hit the breaking news thing for me? Because I've got a scoop.
Let's go live to Christopher Platt, better known as MC Platinum.
And you know they're always a few minutes behind, moments behind, right? Hey, thanks, PC! Yes, I'm live on the scene here, Christopher Platt. And I've got a little bit of a little nugget that my sources have kind of put into my ear. And it's relevant because you brought up the move to Fox.
You have an Owen Hart?
No, I don't have an Owen Hart. I have Black.
You said you had a little nugget.
No, my nugget's not little. Thank you for asking. Would you like to see it?
Oh, God. get to your scoop.
Anywho. So, yeah, so one of my sources has brought to my attention, since we were talking about Fox and SmackDown's move to Fox, and it seemed kind of relevant, that number one, Brock Lesnar is going to move over to SmackDown to coincide with the move to Fox. And number two, that WWE may or may not be in talks to bring in Daniel Cormier to work a program with Brock Lesnar. Now, I'm not saying, I'm just saying, like, this is what, you know, my little sources have told me. Like, take everything I just said with a grain of salt. But I think, PC, Mr. Blast, I think you all will say to a man that typically I have a pretty good track record when it comes to these types of things. Like, do I not?
I'll go first and I'll go quick. I've heard the rumors of Cormier, Cost, and Lesnar, the WWE title. They carry it through. They have a WWE match before they actually get in the octagon and fight it out. That'd be really fucking cool. Do I really think it's going to happen? I put more legitimacy. I'm 50-50 on Dean Ambrose leaving or going. I'm about 10-90 on Cormier actually being in the WWE.
Yeah, I'll buy it, since Cormier's already kind of done his little back-and-forth Twitter shoot, whatever the fuck you want to call it, with the Young Bucks, and he's got his whole stuff with Brock that they've been building for a while. So, no, that sounds legit.
I'm just saying, again, you know, take it with a grain of salt, but I honestly have a pretty good track record when it comes to these types of things. And not necessarily WWE, just, you know, sports in general. Like,
so
do I not or do I not?
So SummerSlam?
Do I not? Like, can you at least put me over for a goddamn
second? Pick a pay-per-view, then.
Can you? No, I'm not going that far.
SummerSlam?
I'm not going that far. No, I don't know.
Night of Champions?
You're not going to back me into a goddamn corner.
Royal Rumble?
No.
Jesus Christ.
Neither one of you could even put me over. Like, yeah, you do be knowing none at all, huh? Couldn't do it. Well, couldn't bring
I mean, I know your reads on basketball are a little better than WWE, mainly because I haven't known you all that long. So I was hoping Tunney would fucking chime in since he's known you longest.
You don't like to reveal your sources, so what are we going to do?
He doesn't need to reveal them. He wants accuracy.
What point does that make, man? Yeah. And I'm not saying I'm going to be right. I'm just saying that little birdie put that in my ear, man. So do with it what you will. Fuck it. Let's just move on to the next topic, man. I'm already utterly disgusted with this show. So let's get this motherfucker over. Fuck both of you guys. Starting my ass. Well. Wow. Yada, yada, yada. Wow.
Must be a good show,
one
then.
One more thing. I'm doing the Costanza for my Mania picks this year.
Costanza. Oh, you're going to make picks for Mania?
Yeah, but my picks for Mania are always shitty, historically. So I'm literally going to do the Costanza. Really? So everything that I think is going to happen on Mania, I'm going
you're
to
gonna do the opposite.
Yes.
Are they going to be on time?
I don't know. I don't know, man. Stay tuned. That's the real breaking news. If I get my picks in time.
Somebody actually, I don't even remember who it was, but somebody got lucky enough that I checked my email, like, after I had already finished it and set it to schedule, and I went back and I added them in. I don't remember who it was, but.
Tag Chair Shot staff. We're pretty much the bad news bears of wrestling news, reviews, and analysis.
Let them play. Let them play. Let them play.
Buy a shirt.
Buy a shirt.
Big E and Xavier Woods just won their tag team gauntlet match.
I just saw that. It was impressive.
So does this mean that Kofi Kingston is going to WrestleMania?
Yes, he's going to WrestleMania. And the question is, can a B-plus player defeat Daniel Bryan for the WWE Championship?
Gentlemen, I love what you're doing, Plack. Go ahead.
Putting on a fresh coat of paint. Doom, doom. Putting on a fresh coat of paint. Doom, doom. Putting on a fresh coat of paint. Doom, doom. Putting on a fresh coat of paint. Oh, 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 oh. Putting on a fresh coat of paint. There's only words I know. Putting on a fresh coat of paint. Doom, doom. Putting on a fresh coat of paint. Putting on a fresh coat of paint. Doom.
I got seven words for you. You ready? And then you're off and running. Kofi Kingston is going to WrestleMania. Baby!
Bazinga. But go ahead, Balls. We're probably going to be on the same page here.
I mean, it's a great thing. And I'm surprised that we didn't stop the lead into this question after you were talking about Pop. Because that's how New Day started off their whole promo when they initially came in about POP and power positivity. So I thought you were going to play Pop into that somehow. And it was just going to be like this big, like just, you know, streamed out, you know, like analogy and just wordplay with you. But I guess not. I guess not. I expected it. And I went the wrong angle with that one. But no, it's awesome. I loved what they did with having Big E and Xavier kind of get him in there, which is kind of just apropos, however you really want to say it, because they've been the ones pushing for him. So it makes so much sense that they're the ones that got him there. The Usos kind of forfeiting and showing respect is perfect for that whole storyline, because if they buried him, then, well, buried's the wrong word, but, you know, if they beat the shit out of him while they were, you know, already thrown through a table and, you know, three matches deep, that wouldn't have shown anything. So that was great. And it wasn't you, it was somebody else in a different chat that we have, was complaining about, just to tie one and two together, about seeing Asuka in the back at the TV cheering for Kofi. And it makes sense. And it was kind of the feeling they were trying to kind of get across last week and this week, that the whole Kofi mania, whatever you want to call it, was bigger than everybody else. Like, Asuka, instead of, you know, wallowing in her own defeat, decided to come out and show support for the faces, her friends, however you really want to, you know, frame it. But that was good. Even Byron Saxton kind of being like, you know, fuck you, I'm going to go celebrate. Like, that was a nice kind of line from him. It was just all nice. Like it was really cool. And yes, the table on top of Rowan was kind of derpy looking, because we know that table ain't that heavy. But I think I even put it in my review for the show, for the site, that Rowan could have been buried under like a mountain of Teletubbies and everybody would have reacted the same way, because they just wanted to see Kofi win. And it was more just the suspense and just that moment of seeing Big E hanging over the ropes and Xavier laying there like, please, come on, just stay down for 10. And it was, everybody was right there. Everybody hung on to it. It was one of those organic emotional moments that WWE did well. Blatt.
Can we, first and foremost, can we give Byron Saxton his flowers just for a hot second? Because a lot of people have been critical of Byron. I personally have been critical of Byron and his commentary. But these last few weeks, he has been phenomenal. Like, I feel like he tapped into some real-ass emotion that he felt about this storyline. Mm-hmm. Because everybody knows that the WWE, they've been playing up the racial, I don't know if the correct terminology is overtones or undertones. I'm probably going to use them both in this particular rant that I'm about to go on. But everybody knows that's literally the story. And that's the story without them saying that's the story. And I talked about this on Chairshot Radio every Sunday on Chairshot Radio Network. You know, they're playing it very smartly, because you can't go full tilt into that because of the current climate in America. You'll risk alienating a large percentage of your fan base. So it's one of those things that if you know, you know. And I hear a lot of people online talking about, well, what's the motivation? Why does Vince keep, you know, holding Kofi down? Blah, 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 that. And I'm like, okay, so you clearly don't know. But I just wanted to give props to Byron Saxton, Jesus Christ, Byron Saxton, because he's really been doing the damn thing the last few weeks, and he's really helped to kind of steer us in that direction with the under or overtones that, you know, that have really been at the forefront of this particular conflict. So I had to give him his props on that.
I'll agree there, since he's been chirping back at Corey a little more and actually getting in some decent one-liners instead of just being the punching bag. So I agree.
And like the line he had last week during the Kofi Gauntlet match, where he said, you know, Kofi got to work twice as hard to get to the same spot, like that. Yeah, that's where they're going. Like, they're staring into this right now. Like, if you know, you know. And if you don't know, it's probably best that you don't know, because it'll probably piss you off if you knew. But that's neither here nor there.
True.
Now, I talked about in the first topic how I feel as if that the writers were kind of running out of steam right here. One thing that I didn't like was the New Day coming out on SmackDown after a week of talking about, hey, maybe we'll just quit and being dejected and this and that, and maybe we'll just quit and we got other shit we could do, and you know, all the videos that they posted online, to come out and be all happy-go-lucky and dancing. Like, I that's not what I wanted in my New Day. I wanted those guys to come out and be pissed off and just beat people's asses. Now, Corey Graves, to his credit, he did a really good job of trying to cover that up. He made a comment about how New Day are still professionals and they're coming out here to do their jobs and to entertain the fans and yada, yada, yada. But I wanted a little more fire out the New Day than I got. But again, the writers were probably running out of steam, and it is what it is. The bottom line is, I didn't like the idea of the tag team gauntlet either. I'm like, I'm cool on gauntlets for a little bit. Like, let's table that for a little bit. Like, if I don't see another gauntlet for at least another year or two, I'm totally on board with that. But I'm not gonna nitpick this because it got us to where we needed to be. And they, you know, could there have been a better way to get us to this point? Of course. But I'm not gonna nitpick it because the bottom line is, it got us to where we need to be. Now, one thing that I didn't hear either one of you bring up, and I'm not hearing anybody else bring up, and perhaps I'm reaching. I might be reaching here, and I probably am reaching, just to be honest with you. You didn't hear Vince McMahon explicitly say that Kofi Kingston is going to be fighting for the WWE title.
It's Vince. Vince can always spin it that, you know, he said he's going to Mania. Can a B-plus player beat the champion? He could always throw Mustafa Ali in there or somebody else that he feels is a B-plus player, or maybe even turn the New Day against each other, because following your line of thought, the one thing that I took from Vince's initial promo was the fact that he asked Xavier and E if they were a B-plus tag team and if they could run this gauntlet. So it would be interesting in a, you know, Vince McMahon swerve for the sake of swerving, just to fuck him over one more time, if he had the entire New Day kind of invite. And so, you know,
let me say this. Okay, I enjoy eating black eyed peas, and I'm going to eat black eyed peas. Do black eyed peas, can you cook black eyed peas with ground beef? Now, everything I just said doesn't mean I'm going to have black eyed peas tomorrow whatsoever. So I could see a scenario, and I'm not saying, I'm just saying, I'm probably overlooking this here, but, or overreaching here, but I could see a scenario where they, like, this is literally the WrestleMania 30 playback. You know, that's one of the dope things about this storyline, is that it's 2019 Daniel Bryan literally up against 2014 Daniel Bryan. So I could see a scenario where Kofi Kingston has to go through Kevin Owens to even get into the WWE title match. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. Because they left, because they didn't leave what he said that vague by happenstance. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. And I could be wrong, and maybe I'm reaching here, but his comments were very vague, because we got fooled before at Elimination Chamber, right?
Fastlane, I think, right?
Well, but who the fuck
same
cares?
Difference. Same
who
difference.
Who the fuck cares, man?
I was going to give you the same difference. I'm just clarifying.
You can call it Shiver Me Timbers. Hey, Shiver Me Timbers,
don't give my ideas.
From Quicken Loans Arena.
No, don't give them ideas, because that'll be like the follow-up show to Mania next year, because it's in Tampa Bay with the boat. Like, they'll call it Shiver Me Timbers, the Raw and SmackDown edition, or some shit like that. It'd be like, in your house is going to be like in your boat or some shit. No, we're not doing that.
They'll live have from Treasure Island in Las Vegas. It's Shiver Me Timbers.
Treasure Island. Say it again.
Treasure Ireland? It's just going to be Becky Lynch.
Starring Rick O'Shea at Finn Treasure Ballard. Island.
They'll have a Treasure Island ladder match, man. It'll be a box of booty up top, and you got to climb the ladder to get to the booty.
Now, and the walk the plank challenge, somehow Shane McMahon wins because he can jump off of it.
So I'm not saying, I'm just saying, man, we've been screwed before by the language from Vince McMahon. So I could see one more hoop. Just the way that he acquiesced so easily to that, and that hasn't been the storyline up until this point. I could see one more hoop being thrown in front of Kofi Kingston. And Kevin Owens, there's nothing announced for him either. Because, I mean, the Mellon Farmer, I'd be a little pissy if I was Kevin Owens. Like, if I came back and I'm not in a prominent match on Mania or not on the Mania card However, I'd be a little pissy. I came back and I'm not going to get a Mania check. So they're going to do something with Kevin Owens, I believe. I don't know. I'm just saying. I could see a decision again. I could see a scenario where Kofi's got to go through KO to get to the title match. But I don't know. We'll see. Either way, it's still Kofi Mania all day, a day.
Agreed. We can move on.
Before we move on, let me say this.
Oh, well, I guess not. You lied. Balls, you lied.
Sheesh. No.
Doom doom putting on a fresh coat.
No, I didn't.
No, on a fresh coat of doo doo.
We can get this part out and just go to three.
Yes, sir, we promised you a great
gorgeous girl. Pretty classy, the maker of champions.
Andre, the champ.
WrestleMania.
Everyone has a place.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is electric.
You are fine.
The champ is here.
But I was playing that song for my mom in the car. And she thought it was an actual gospel song, and she was in the back seat rocking to that shit. God bless her.
This is why the show takes 9,000 hours to fucking film or record.
Like, because one of us has entertainment value and the other one is you?
Sure. If rambling on about shit just to get your shit in is entertainment value, that's all you, Bubba.
All right, just go back to your bottle of yak and go on to the next time. Goddamn.
Well, I already played the thing. Did you not hear it?
No, I was dancing and singing.
He was too busy singing and interrupting it.
Oh. Well, okay, just get to it. What the fuck you got to say? What's the goddamn third topic? Just say it.
Wow.
Just say
it. Holy just cow. Say it. Listen to that. Wow. Now I'm going to take my time.
Well, excuse the bloody fuck out of me for trying to make the show entertaining and interesting after that abomination and abortion that we put out last week and trying to do better for our fans.
Why are you yelling at me? Why are you yelling at me? Andrew's giving yelling. You shit.
I'm just yelling.
Direct
it is just collateral damage.
Direct your yell elsewhere.
It's collateral damage. Cállate la boca.
That's okay, true. Don't bring that back from last week.
Cállate la boca! Balls.
I appreciate that. I appreciate the direction.
Cállate la boca! Huevos. It would probably be a better show if he just asked me questions and just let me talk. It would probably be a better show. You could probably clock out now, Andrew.
Wow.
Oh. Okay. I've got other things I could be doing and would rather be doing.
You going to help Xavier Woods with his video game venture?
Don't act like you don't want to do that.
Man, I played a video game in 10 years.
I like how that's not a no. You're just like, I haven't played a video game in 10 years. But if X asked me, I would.
If X asked me, I would. Shut up.
There we go.
Fuck you guys.
Pot is war. Pot is war. If X asked me, I would.
Shit. Excuse the fuck out of me trying to make this shit entertaining. I have one off week. One off week, and you motherfuckers can't even pick up the slack, and we put out an abortion of a show. So there you go. So I ain't hearing
everything
shit.
Was an off week. Our technology wasn't working. Nobody was really on the same page. There was like Mercury in retrograde or some shit. I don't know.
Hey, man, that shit's real, man.
So maybe it was. Check the star card. I don't know.
Yeah, that shit's real. Like, for real, for real. Trust me.
Question number three.
I'll tell you the details.
Oh, look. Question three. It appeared.
The legends and the part-timers. Their usage at WrestleMania and in and throughout the year. Just discuss that. I mean, there's a lot of people get upset here and there, and a lot of people enjoy certain spots. Why are some better than others?
Hey, this is question number three. Platt, go back to singing and dancing. It's okay. We'll do that instead.
Right, it wasn't even a question, but I'm going to talk about it.
Red roses too. See the point.
Louis Armstrong singing's better than that question, so let's just stick with this.
Myself, what a wonderful world. I see babies cry. I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
By the way, that's one of my favorite songs of all time. That song is so beautiful. It's simplistic, but it's so beautiful in its simplicity. But that's neither here nor there. That anywho, yeah, it's a beautiful song. But okay, the part timer. So I know a lot of the IWC and the Smarks and the quote unquote wrestling journalists and everything. They say, well, the part timers should come back, man, and put over the new guys, man, so the new guys get the rub. And in my professional opinion, all I have to say about that is now. Y'all know how this goes, man. Wrestling fandom is typically cyclical. Can we all agree with that?
Sure.
Like, the only reason that I watch wrestling as much as I do, and I probably consume too much of it, is because I report on this. And since I've been doing podcasts and trying to be a credible melon farmer within this field, right? So I think back to a few years ago. Well, quite a few years ago. Let's take ourselves back to 1996. It was a simpler time. Mobb Deep was going gold. Pamela Anderson was the shit. Mm-hmm. You know, we had Encyclopedia Britannicas. And the internet was just really starting to pop off.
Yeah, we still had to learn the Dewey Decimal System back then.
Yeah, and it had to go to the card catalog at the library, right? Mm-hmm.
Correct. A little past the microfiche years, but still, it was still there.
So I was around 14, maybe 15, but I'm thinking 14. So I had stopped watching wrestling for a little bit. Like, the last thing I remembered in wrestling was when Hulk Hogan came back at WrestleMania 9 and beat Yokozuna. And I'm thinking to myself that whole time, like, whoa, what a second. Bret Hart's the champion? Like, that's what we're doing? All right, whatever. And I thought I had outgrew wrestling, and it was just something I watched as a child, and, you know, I outgrew it. So fast forward to 96, WrestleMania 12, and the day of the show, I find out, I don't even remember how I found out, it's not even important, that Ultimate Warrior was going to be on the show. So you know what I did? I ordered it, mm-hmm. just off the strength of the name of the Ultimate Warrior. And then I got back into it, and then a few months after that, the NWO thing popped off, and, you know, it was a wrap from there. So fast forward again to around the late aughts, that's what they're calling the 2000s now, the aughts. Again, I had stopped watching wrestling, and not necessarily by choice. It was just situations and circumstances. I was working long-ass hours, and when I got home, I didn't have cable anyway, so it didn't matter. I would keep up with the product on the internet, so, you know, I would go to – I'd get to my office in the morning, and I would, you know, look on the – for lack of a better term, the dirt sheets or whatever and see what happened, and that's how I kept up with the product. This was before podcasts were popping off. And do you know what brought me back to WrestleManias? It was Shawn Michaels wrestling The Undertaker.
That's kind of what I figured, yeah.
Yeah, and I remembered the series of matches that they had in 97 and were fucking awesome. So that's what brought me back. And for a decent three-year period, that's how I kept up with wrestling. Like, I had a buddy. I would order the shows. Obviously, I had to pay for them. And I would order the shows and go over his house and watch WrestleMania. Yeah, it happened when the first Shawn Mike match. It happened with the second Shawn Mike versus Undertaker match, his retirement match, which I naively thought was going to be the greatest match in the history of wrestling. I mean, I was underwhelmed, but I mean, it was more about the story than the match. Not saying it wasn't a good match. And then that third year, one of the guys that actually came over to the house to watch the show, over to my friend's house, he said, "Hey, man, The Rock is hosting. I'll buy it this year." And that's how we kept up with it. So I said all that to say that WrestleMania, that's what WrestleMania is about. It's about catching the lapsed casual fan. So bringing back names that people actually know, that's what that does. And then you're hoping that that will clue them back in to the product that's going on now. And now you converted or reconverted a previous fan. So I don't have a problem with the part-timers coming back, and I don't have a problem with how they use the part-timers. Because, I mean, Batista's back now. And for all accounts, it's going to be his retirement match. Now, like, let's just put aside that this is the angle that he's been angling for the last few years. What are you going to do with Batista if he's willing to come back? Are you really going to put him in a feud with Takira Ozawa? And no disrespect to him. He's a very entertaining and fine wrestler. But come on, man. You know what I mean? If you're a lap fan, somebody that...
I love platisms. That's all I'm saying. Continue. But just, you know.
So if you're a laps fan and you see, oh, shit, Batista and Triple H are fighting on the card, you're way more to maybe want to order WrestleMania and see what they got going on just off the strength of those two names. Like, those dudes are box office, and that's what WrestleMania is about.
All right, now I've got a legit question for you. How do you think this would sell? Because we know one is a part-timer. So if it was Tokyo 3K against Tequila Azawa, how do you think that would go? You think we get some Labs fans?
We would, because Tokyo 3K is a legend. Like, he's going to be a legend. Yes.
Okay.
Tokyo 3K has drawn money on all seven continents. So yes, we get Labs fans.
This is true. But I remember when he wrestled the entire fucking herd of penguins or whatever the fuck they're called.
Do you remember the match with Tokyo 3K versus the Loch Ness Monster at Wrestle Kingdom 2?
Yes, because the Loch Ness Monster did the job. That was fantastic.
Yes, yes. And then the Abominable Snowman at Ring of Honor Death Before Dishonor.
Yes, the Abominable Snowman chose death that day.
Yes, and he was not dishonored. Shout out to what do I call him? Abby.
The Butcher?
No, Abby Snowman. The Abominable Snowman.
See, now that would have been a good fight. Abby the Butcher versus Abby the Snowman.
Who helped the Giant win the title against Hogan? The Mummy?
That was the Yeti. The Yeti.
It was the Yeti.
Oh, yeah. That guy, he was humping some serious butt that night.
Hey, man. Tokyo 3K wrestled him in New Zealand, and they drew 15,000 people in the building. So
yeah, that's why he had to change his name after fucking Candy.
Yeah.
Because you know Reese was the Yeti, right?
No, I didn't know that. He was, huh?
I'm pretty sure. I'm like 95% sure that Reese from the Flock was the Yeti.
Yeah, I know Reese and I know the Flock. Yeah, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
There we go. But no, when it comes to part-timers, I more or less agree because my story is similar but not based off of WrestleMania. Because why would it be WWE-based if it's coming from me? It's more, I fell out shortly after the invasion because I was a WCW guy. And then I forget how I saw it. I think it was as I was flipping through channels at college, and it was probably right around the time TNA was coming to Spike, or maybe it was still on Fox. I forget exactly where it was. And I saw they had Sting back. And they said something like Sting's going to make his, you know, like Impact debut. So it might have been Spike TV at that time. And that was enough to get me to go, okay, I'm going to turn this on and see where we're at. Because I was a WCW guy. I was and still am a huge Sting mark. So you bring Sting back, I'm watching that. And that's the main reason why, you know, it took me a couple years. I was out, came back, and then was more or less back into the swing of things. But, you know, that's how that one goes. So, yes. Part-timers do have the ability to just kind of scoop you back in when you're not really expecting it, when you're not looking for it, because you just go, oh, wait, I know that name. Oh, that person's still alive? That person's still doing something? Let's see what they're doing. And then you kind of get hooked back in. So, yeah, they have a place. Do I really care on the grand picture, the big picture, the grand scheme of it all? No, because they use part-timers everywhere. It's a big thing in Mexico. It's a big thing in Japan. It's a big thing in WWE. Who actually cares? Like, I don't know why people complain about it aside from just to have something to complain about, because as Chris said earlier in the show, it's the IWC. They complain about everything. So,
and and it's the WWE. So everybody's going to find a reason and to shit on WWE, because you're absolutely right. Like, I mean, I know he's getting ready to retire, but is Jin really on a full-time schedule? No.
No.
You know what I mean? And even the you know, the legends, like you talk about in Mexico, like, you know, Vampiro might make a shot here or there, or Rey Mysterio or something like that. Like, are they really on full-time schedules? No. But nobody has a beef with it. They're box office names and they draw money. And it's the same thing with WWE.
Yep, it's just a wrestling thing. That's all it really is. I mean, what was it? Luthez wrestled till he was in his 70s. Great Kabuki.
Bullet Bob Armstrong just retired like 3 days ago. And I'm just barely exaggerating. Like, he literally just wrestled his retirement match like last week. And that Melon Farmer is like 80 years old and has been wrestling for what, like 6-7 decades?
Hey, you're correct. I know. Well, it was last year, 2 years ago, All Japan was still signing Dory Funk for matches. Dory Funk Jr.
The Rock and Roll Express have headlined or co-headlined or whatever Brucey Wrestling Summer event for like the last 5 years.
There we go.
Ricky Mullet or Ricky Mullet. Ricky, well, you know what?
You're not wrong Ricky with Moore, Ricky Mullet, honestly.
Bobby Gibson, there you go. I got you back, bro.
Bobby Gibson got that Shawn Michaels, Waukee Coke thing popping off now, too.
He does. He does. That's a good point.
Once again, go to the WWE Network and try to find the point in time.
No.
That's what they should do, man. They should have Shawn Mike versus Robert Gibson, eye versus eye match.
Oh, my God.
Loser has to get that guy poked out and then walk around with an eye patch like Pierre.
You know, honestly, I'm surprised that we haven't heard that, Express is going to be doing the Crockett Cup this year. They're bringing the Crockett Cup back next month.
When it comes to time and space continuum, as far as humans on the planet Earth are concerned, it's BC and AD, right? Okay. Yeah. But when it comes to people that watch the WWE Network, it's BE and AE.
Oh, boy. Hey, baby. Even Andrew could have come up with something better than that. Again, wasted air.
Come on.
Wasted air.
Whatever.
You're better than this, honey.
Yeah,
come on, man.
Whatever. It's not your gimmick. You want to shit on it. You're jealous. Whatever.
And I try not to that's not even true. I would be lying if I said I try not to bury him. But I try to be nice to him because he is the editor, so he could make us sound like $1 million or like 2-day-old tofu shit. But you're not helping your case right now, buddy.
That could actually be a good bonus Patreon special, is if it was ever like a specialty PC edited show just to screw us over. There we go. That would be a good one. What's it sound like when the power goes to PC's head? That's the episode.
So just to be fair, and let everybody know, yes, I always, 100% of the time, try to make this show sound as good as possible in the perspective of the two of you, correct?
You do. That's why I said it'd be a funny Patreon thing if you just did it as a one-off.
I just want people to know that.
That's fair. Mm-hmm. That's fair. But yeah, as far as the part-timers, I don't even understand why people bitch and moan and complain about that, because it's not for you, guy that watches 15 hours of wrestling every week. It's for that lapsed fan, and maybe you can draw some Melon Farmers back into it. As a matter of fact, I can give you an example. My buddy, he's not a wrestling fan at all, but after that Shawn Michaels retirement angle that they ran at WrestleMania, whatever the fuck it was out in Phoenix, he literally turned into Raw the next night. Now, he didn't hang on because, he didn't grow up a wrestling fan, but he tuned into Raw just to see what they had popping off. So that's why they do that. So it's not about you, okay? And frankly, run a business. This is the thing, man. Like, yeah, I say this as a business owner and a melon farmer that, and since I left college, has been involved in one way, shape, or form or fashion in my own business. And, there's been times where, I had a lot of money and I was doing well, and there's been lean times. Unfortunately, right now is one of them lean times. It just is what it is. But what I said all that to say that if you bitch and piss and moan and complain about what WWE is, start your own business. And once you become a businessman or a businesswoman or a business person and you understand how that shit goes, even if you don't necessarily agree with a lot of the choices that they make, the choices that they make will make a lot more sense to you. So that's my challenge to everybody under the sound of my ears. If you got a problem with WWE, start your own business and see how that shit go. And you'll understand why they make a lot of the choices that they make.
Fair enough.
Yeah. It's real spit, man.
No, I can't argue with it. That's the point,
Yeah, like you got Mel Farmers talking shit about the WWE and just burying the WWE. And the dirt sheet's got a lot to do with that as well, man. Like, I'm looking at you, Keller. I'm looking at you, Meltzer. I'm looking at you, Alvarez. Oh, my God. Sean Alvarez or Brian Alvarez. I want to punch that motherfucker in the face. I ain't even going to hold you. If we could set up that fight, man, you give me 3 months to get in shape and I will beat the brakes off that motherfucker. That's how much I don't like him. But that's the problem, man. Like, motherfuckers think that they know more than they know. You know what I mean? So then you got smarks and motherfuckers that have never even been into an actual fight bringing up words like work rate. The fuck do you know about work rate? You were an Ultimate Warrior, Mark, who was the worst worker in the history of work. But he got over. And that's no shitting on the Warrior, even though I can't shit on the Warrior because he was homophobic and racist, so fuck that dude, but I'm not going to talk about the dead. But, there's new words into your vocabulary and your lexicon that you didn't even know existed. And now you think you know some shit just because you watch some shit. You don't know shit, man. and quit acting like you don't show no shit, because you don't know shit. Like, tell your tell grandma, tell mama or papa, hey, my pizza rolls are done. Can you bring them down to me in the basement? My hands a little busy.
Wow.
The race is on.
We'll get one step closer to see who takes on Switchblade Jay White for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship.
Kota Ibushi faces Zack Sabre Jr.
Zack Driver, yes!
Plus, Hiroshi Tanahashi squares off against Yusuke Taguchi.
Taguchi is in the driver's seat.
In the second round of the New Japan Cup 2019.
And another!
All new New Japan Pro Wrestling, Friday on Access TV.
Mr. Andrew Belaz, I wanna direct this towards you because of you, I've become a more knowledgeable person in the global wrestling community. And I know we just heard what's coming up on Access TV. Make sure you check that out every Friday. It's a good way to keep up here in the States. But the G1 Supercard has been confirmed, or at least everything's been announced.
Ding, 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 ding.
Okay, yeah, wonderful. I was hoping to be done before you got back.
I could go worse if you want me to. I can go worse.
No, that's fine. That's funny because it's funny you did that because you're gonna prove my point right here. And I know where I left off, so I can come back to that. I tweeted out after Shinsuke came out. I was live tweeting on SmackDown, and I tweeted out, halfway into Rusev and Shinsuke's time in the ring. By the way, hate the bodysuit for Shinsuke. That the real C-Plat is still singing Shinsuke's theme song.
Shinsuke is acting.
No, we're not doing this again. No. I played it specifically so we wouldn't do it. So,
yeah, that's how that works.
Zack Sabre Jr. versus Tanahashi, Naito and Ibushi for the IWG Intercontinental Championship.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Lethal, Matt Taven, Marty Scurll, Ring of Honor title, and then Jay White defending against Kazuchika Okada. Gentlemen, 10 championships to be defended at the G1 Supercard. Andrew, I've kept the people too long from hearing what you have to say about this.
Oh, yes, because they're just waiting with bated breath.
Listen, I tried. I'm sorry, Andrew.
It's Chris. What do you expect? But anyway, so, hey, we shit on it last week, I think, during that awful show of awfulness, that it wasn't really doing anything for either of us. But, hey, finish the New Japan Cup, give us a winner, and give us a few more matches, and fucking hell, what a difference a week makes. Like, I went from being, okay, this looks like ROH just with, New Japan super friends kind of thing, to now it looks more like a New Japan show with, ROH remembering that they belong on this card too somewhere. And, I prefer it that way. Even though the tag match turned into a clusterfuck. But how do you feel, Chris, Mr. Platt, about Zack Sabre Jr. and Tanahashi and Ibushi and Naito? Because I know some of those guys are pretty close to your heart.
I mean, the card is fish grease, man. What do you want me to say? Like, I can't even shit on it. As much as I want to shit on you vicariously through New Japan, like, this card is hot.
You are one kinky motherfucker if you want to shit on me through New Japan. Like, Jesus Christ.
He's got that glass
I
coffee table.
Would. How much money would it cost me? I'm not even going to lie. And not even on some sexual shit. How much would I have to pay you to literally drop trowel and take a shit on your chest? Like, I would pay you for that. I would pay you for that. Like, I really would.
I don't know. I've never been propositioned for that. So let me think about a number. I'll get back to you later.
All right. Hey, man, we could put that on the Patreon.
Balls shits through glass.
But okay, so Zack Sabre Jr., Tanahashi, that's going to be a good match. I'm not the biggest Zack Sabre Jr. fan, but I can admit that he's a damn good wrestler. Naito and Ibushi, that gets me moist, gentlemen. I ain't even going to hold you. I'm excited about that. So I'm going to have to find a way to watch this show through nefarious means. Now, Balls, I had a question about what I presume is going to be the main event, which is Jay White versus Okada.
See,
didn't see Okada winning the New Japan Cup, but I mean, it's not, I shouldn't be that surprised. It's Okada, right? So I'm looking at this Tokyo matchup. 3K. Tokyo 3K is actually, who is he facing? Is he facing Lagger on this match? On this
he might be in the Honor Rumble because Lagger is going to be in the Honor Rumble. So we might get the pop in there.
And they clearly have history, so yeah, that might happen.
Of course, of course.
But this this Okada J. White, again, I'm presuming it's going to be the main event. I'm intrigued by this one because I have no idea what they're going to do. So on one hand, Okada owes J. White a receipt, especially considering how J. White really started to pick up steam as a heel when Ghetto turned on Okada. And I know that's not his name, but that's... say his name, but when Ghetto turned on Okada inside of
right.
Jay White, and the fact that Jay White actually got a win over Okada last year or this previous year, like Okada has a receipt coming to Jay White, but it's hard for me to believe when you look at, okay, Tanahashi won the belt in January and then Jay White won it. It's hard for me to believe that New Japan is going to have four title changes in less than a 5 month span, because I mean, historically speaking, they don't typically flip the title like that all willy-nilly. Like, that's kind of a big deal, so it's hard for me to believe that. So on one hand, Okada owes Jay White a receipt. On the other hand, it's hard for me to believe that they're going to flip the title that soon and that many times within a, you know, what, a 4 or 5 month span. And I don't really think Okada wants the title back right now. Like, he seems to be living his best life and enjoying himself as a wrestler. But it's a big card. It's Mania weekend. So I could totally see them putting the title back on Okada. So I don't know what the hell's going on here, Ball. So I'm going to... What is your quote-unquote expert opinion about this? I'm going to get out the way and let you slam dunk.
No, I'll give you a lot of points on that because that's accurate. That's a perfect perspective to have on the situation. Like, I could throw out the fact that, you know, Okada said he's going to bring it back, and he already wants, you know, to have a rematch with Sonata because that match was so good. And, you know, Okada and Shibata had a moment after he won the cup
that
because...
Cool. That was
okay,
super cool.
I wasn't sure
was
if you saw that.
Yeah, because he was in the match when Shibata got fucked up and ended his career.
Yes, Okada's that match was the one that ended Shibata's career. So Okada kind of took that to heart, and he even started kind of tearing up in the promo or the interview afterwards, and Shibata kind of absolved him of everything afterwards because they went back to him after the backstage interview was done, and Shibata basically just said, "I'm alive, stop blaming yourself. Like,
yeah,
I'll be rooting you on in New
shit.
York."
Yeah, what? Real kung fu movie shit.
Yeah, no, seriously. Yeah. Like, it was deep. It was cool because you could kind of tell it was man to man because Okada's not the one that cries. Tanahashi cries after everything. Okada doesn't really cry, and the fact that Shibata kind of just broke it down and be like, "Hey, guess what? Like, I'm fine. Stop it." Like, you know, it's cool. And then he said he was going to come to New York with, you know, New Japan to root him on. So it's weird because you got that karate movie kind of thing like you were just bringing up where everybody's, you know, rallying behind, you know, Okada, and he's going to take down the big bad guy and bring the belt back to, you know, New Japan instead of the Gaijin Bullet Club evil demon people. And I don't see that. I don't see Okada winning. Like, as funny as it is, it's not just, I mean, the fact that they don't hot potato the title, perfect reason, because that's part of the reasoning I see it. But you also have to think about it. Okada had that belt for 2 years. They haven't built up enough new faces that we're not just going to be retreading the water, and the main event scene hasn't quite reset enough for Okada to kind of bring on new matches. Plus, the one thing I brought up in my New Japan Cup final review was the fact that last time Okada had a problem with a new Bullet Club leader was AJ Styles. And it took like an entire calendar year for Okada to be able to beat Styles because Styles debuted by beating the shit out of Okada. Then his first match, he took the title off of Okada. And then it was always Bullet Club shenanigans that kept Okada from being able to take the title back off of Styles. So it feels like Bullet Club went back to its roots last year. So I'd like to see White kind of being Okada's kryptonite for a little bit.
Of course you'd like to see White being an Asian man's kryptonite, but go on.
Stop that.
Can I interject real quick in a subject I usually never interject on and ask the question because I'm interested and I've kind of been paying attention recently. Not that I've watched a lot, but I've just been paying attention to what's going on. Would it be the worst thing ever if Okada won here? And then what's the next show then? What's the next event after this one?
The next big one would be June for Dominion, but the next pay-per-view they kind of do is Sakura Genesis and Wrestling Dontaku, which are Sakura Genesis is usually the one where the cup winner gets their challenge, but because they got this MSG event, it kind of bucked that trend.
Okay, so why not let's make some weird thing where it's like a tag team match or whatever for the next one, and then the next big one, Jay White wins it back. And then we can continue it even further past that through the summer into the fall, et cetera, so that we legitimize Jay White even more by going through this and coming out in a positive way in a program against Okada.
Well, Balls, before you interject, but PC, that's why this match is so intriguing, because New Japan takes their belts hella seriously, and that's what gives them their legitimacy. Like, they don't just flip them all willy-nilly like that, like I previously said. And the fact that we've had three title changes, is it three? Well, two title changes. If we include the Kenny Omega title win, we've had three title changes in less than a year. That's out of the ordinary for New Japan in terms of their booking and their storylines. Like, they typically don't do stuff like that. And that's why this matchup is so intriguing. So I don't know. I just felt that need to have to say something.
And that's kind of my point. That's how we make Jay White even bigger, because he's in this time period of the belts going back and forth, Balls.
But are you going to make him bigger, or are you going to devalue your championships? That's the thing.
No, it depends on how you look at it, because there's no way you're going to devalue the championship just after a couple flips, because IWGP Heavyweight Championship. Man. It's been legit for years.
That's not true, because I love WWE, but their titles are just props at this particular point in time. So that's not true. You can't devalue your championship.
See, there's a small difference there, though, is that WWE is... I kind of look at it this way, where it's oversaturated in the fact that we see it every week and we expect something every week, so they need to flip them more often just to keep people invested. New Japan is a traveling company where you're only going to get one, two, maybe three big matches a month, depending, and they spend the whole month building up to it on their tour, and that's kind of the thing with the Japanese. With the Japanese promotions, is they don't have weekly episodic TV like WWE does. Plus, you also have to look at it, is that we're a lot more critical of WWE because of the oversaturation, the overvisibility, and we're more opinionated on it. Like, there's a lot of people that don't like the fact Jay White's the champion right now, so you might have some people that think that devalues it, even though it doesn't, because he was a young lion. It's not like he came out of nowhere. If anything, Jay White's just got the Okada push, because Okada kind of came back from his exile in a TNA, if we just want to call it anything like that, came back, boom, he was the corporate champion, Ghetto got behind him, and, he had four title reigns before he was fucking 30. So it's very similar with White, but people just don't like his character. So there was a little bit of that gender backlash where people didn't think he deserved it, even though he's just as deserving as name anybody else in New Japan. Jay White's just as deserving as they are.
So I know you're going to be in the house for this event, obviously. This is your mm-hmm. WrestleMania.
Yes.
What match are you most looking forward to?
Oh, see that? It's hard to argue against the main event, because that's just so huge. But Ibushi Naito is going to be a big one, too, because you can't go wrong with that match. Like, the fans love both of them. So, you know what I mean? Like, you just can't have a bad winner there.
Now, in regards to the Ring of Honor side of this card, what match are you looking forward to? All right, next question. Okay, yes. I know Boss doesn't like American wrestling. Cool.
It's not that I don't like ROH.
It's not that I don't like it.
I don't like ROH. I mean, Ladder Wars with Lethal, Taven, and Skrull should be okay. I just feel like that's going to be the way to put the belt on Taven, and I don't give a shit about Taven or the Kingdom. So
let's not act like Bully Ray's not doing God's work down in Ring of Honor right now.
Ring of Honor is nowhere near where it used to be.
Take it through. Use your words.
Nowhere near where it used to be. There we go.
That's fair, because WWE got all their talent. That's fair.
I mean, but Ring of Honor, I mean, me and DeMarco were actually having this conversation a couple of days ago. Ring of Honor is too complacent with playing second fiddle to many different companies that they decide to partner with. They don't build up their people, or when they do put a little bit of effort in, because let's look at last year with Punishment Martinez, they jump. A couple years back, when you had the big exodus, be it Austin Aries, Kevin Owens, you know, Tyler Black, Seth Rollins, whatever we're calling them, the American Wolves went to fucking TNA. Like, ROH puts just enough, I guess, effort into them to make them marketable, and then they leave because they can't hold on to them. And well, I don't know if it's just ROH has become jaded by that, and they don't put effort into people now, purposely, I guess, to keep them there, to hold them down. I don't know what it is, but, like, even before when we had the Elite, like, this whole New Japan thing, they would push the Elite, the Bullet Club, the New Japan guys a lot harder than their own guys, with the exception of Lethal, who Lethal made most of his fucking bones in TNA, so he came over as a known quantity.
Well, to be fair, as of late, Ring of Honor has been breaking bread to try to sign and to maintain talent. So we have to give them props on that. That being said, and I will go to my grave believing this, that they have a wink, wink, nudge, nudge deal with the WWE, because they're pretty much a feeder system for the WWE at this particular point in time.
You might be right. That's
I'm probably
plausible.
Right.
It's definitely plausible.
Yeah, similar to how ECW, WWE was funding ECW, but Paul was running that game talking about WWE was the evil empire, even though he's getting a check from them. Same type of thing with Ring of Honor, even though they don't need WWE's check. Like, Sinclair Broadcasting probably has more money than Vince McMahon. But yeah, I think they've got something going on there, because I mean, if you look at the main event roster of WWE now, how many of those guys didn't stop through Ring of Honor at one particular point in time?
I mean, yeah, most of them are ROH TNA guys. Yeah. I mean, even AJ brought it up in that promo with Orton a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, so yeah, it is what it is. And Ring of Honor, I don't know what the hell they're doing. I don't even see how they really draw a profit. I think Ring of Honor is just a tax write-off for Sinclair Broadcasting at this point, because I don't see how they... I really don't see how they make a profit. Like, they don't pay attention to their ratings. Like, I have that on good authority, that they don't pay attention to any of their ratings.
They can't because it's syndicated, so yeah, it's fuck all.
That was my next point. Like, it's syndicated, so they don't have a definite time. Like, I catch Ring of Honor when I catch it at the most random-ass times ever. Like, I'm washed now, so, you know, I'm damn near married, so I'm washed. So I'll be at home, you know, Saturday evening at midnight, and I'll just happen to come across TNA, and I'll watch it. Or it might be 2 o'clock in the morning on a Friday, and I just happen to catch TNA, or excuse me, Ring of Honor, I'll check it out. But
that means that's when those are on. So write it down.
Oh, yeah? When does Ring of Honor appear in your time zone, sir?
3 times a week.
Yeah, he's a little lucky on that. It used to be twice for me, like once at like 2 p.m. on Sunday, or once at like midnight on a Saturday, but then they move channels, and I don't know where the fuck they are.
Well, that's so. Another thing. I've also caught it at like 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning, so yeah, I don't know what the hell's going on.
So you got it twice a week?
No, the point. The point is still it's hard to follow, because if you're not actually looking for it, it's not like you go to USA every day, every Monday at 8 o'clock. It's not like it's a big, easy-to-follow thing. Unless you go, oh, what channel did I randomly just turn to? All right, 5:37, and it's 8 o'clock now, so I guess I'll write that down. Well, you shouldn't have to notate things in 2019.
Well, if you write it down once, I bet you remember it. I bet you it's on the same fucking time every week.
Not the point.
I mean, like, seriously. Hey, it is the fucking point. That's the fucking point.
I can argue it's not. It changed.
No, it is. There's no argument against it is or isn't the point. That's the fucking point. It's on. That's when it's on.
It's 2019.
Fucking record it.
You shouldn't have to make a fucking note.
No, because you already know Raw is on at fucking 8 o'clock on Monday night.
Let's just throw this together. The best thing ROH has going for it right now is the little bit of history they get to play with. Because I think PCO, Pierre-Carlo Ouellette, is in the tag match, the four-way tag match of Garbage Doom. And, you know, he was also at, the WWE one in the 80s?
Can we talk about him for a hot second, man? Because this is the dude. Dude, you all will remember him as the Canadian dude with the eye patch in WWE. This Melon Farmer has gone on the indie scene and totally reinvented himself, and now he's a big fucking deal. So if you don't know, him and Walter had a really highly publicized match last year during Mania weekend, and this dude is a big fucking deal right now on the indie scene.
Oh, he completely is that whatever the hell his whole get, like some kind of Frankenstein or whatever. He's like, he's half dead, not, you know, something like that. But it's just cool. Plus, he's like 60 and he's still doing moonsaults and throwing himself through fucking tables and onto chairs. And
I believe he's in his 50s, but nonetheless.
Regardless, in his 50s or 60s, there's people that are much younger than that won't take those bumps. And he takes bumps onto the apron, you know, from the apron onto the floor, and it's some of the most dangerous, ridiculous shit I've seen, and he's up there in age, regardless if it's 55 or 60, whatever it happens to be, but it's something to watch, and he's got a history because he was in MSG with WWE, so I have a feeling that they're going to play up that whole gimmick that, you know, he came back kind of to home, so to speak.
Fair enough. I guess you got anything else to add before we move on? PC, you want to say anything corny?
Or ROH? you're more the ROH guy than either of us, so you have anything that you want to chime in about?
He's not the best play-by-play guy for nothing, folks.
Hell of a drop-in, Monty.
Just a bit outside.
Indians, no runs, one hit. That's all? We got one goddamn hit? You can't say goddamn on the air. Oh, who gives a shit? Nobody's listening.
Fuck you, Jobu. I'll do it myself. Next topic.
No, actually, during that fight?
Yeah.
Actually, we just went to take a knee. I swear, I just went in to block the guy and, like, you know, get in front of him, like, protect Tom Brady. Because I don't know who's Tom Brady. I don't know. I wasn't trying to protect him right now. I mean, he's our quarterback.
Yeah.
No big deal, but and then all of a sudden they went hard at us, and then I got pushed or something. I was like, screw it, last game of the year, I'm throwing some haymakers.
Bob Gronkowski is here. We'll be right back.
Gentlemen, the most dynamic tight end of all time, first ballot Hall of Famer, best tight end ever. I don't know if you can give him that description considering the length of his career, but most dynamic for sure. I think the most intriguing thing to the people listening to this podcast, though, is not his NFL career, but the possibility of him dabbling in the WWE. In what capacity remains to be seen? Could we see a run at WrestleMania? Where do you see Rob Gronkowski fitting in to the WWE future? And where do you put him on your list of tight ends in the NFL all time?
Well, first and foremost, I don't think that it's hyperbolic to state that he is the GOAT at his position. I mean, you could talk about, you know, the length of time and this and that, but I mean, what tight end has been more impactful in NFL history? And you can't really name one. Like, he's the GOAT at that particular position. Number two, he's retired, but we put that in quotation marks because I've already heard rumblings that perhaps he may come back for a shot at the end of the season and maybe into the playoffs. So there's that. Another thing that has been kind of a refreshing revelation in the last few years is that Gronkowski, he's been very open about his NFL mortality. And he's proven himself to be more than just a party meathead. He's been very insightful and very introspective in regards to his NFL career. And I think that this second act of Gronk has been very interesting just to watch. As far as the WWE goes, I mean, I don't see him taking on a full-time schedule just because he played football for that long. And the reason that he's quitting football is because his body presumably is beat up, and he's talked about that. But I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility that he's going to get a shot here or there. Maybe he might be one of those new part-timers that they bring on for WrestleMania or just for big shows in general.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was going to go with it, too, is that I can't see him actually taking to wrestling as a full-time job afterwards when, you know, he's gone through how many back surgeries and all this other stuff. Like, there's no way he's taken the kind of bumps that he would have to if he became a full-time wrestler. But, yeah, one-off celebrity stuff, that's fine. I've also heard the whole rumblings that, you know, if Brady calls him in November, December, and they're you know, making a push, that Gronk wouldn't exactly say no. But we also saw Witten come out of retirement after a full year of being in the booth. So is anybody ever retired? Back? Yeah, Witten's back. I didn't know you didn't know that.
For the whole season? Okay.
No, so, I didn't.
Yeah, so one year for the Cowboys, not just like a three-day kind of funky thing or whatever. Hmm. But either way, so when it comes to sports, retirements are never really, you know, retirements.
You're not retired.
Exactly. Like, we look at Favre, we look at Jordan. Like, there's so many examples of people who thought they were retired, then they come back a year or two later to just either see if they still have it because they still got the itch or however that still kind of works. And they do or they don't, and then, you know, it just adds or subtracts. But it's always something to talk about. As for Gronk, I don't know. Like, I think I would definitely give him top 10. Probably top 5 tight ends.
So name two better rivals or better tight ends than Gronk. Hold on. Before you do that, Balls, PC was trying to interject, and you always got to look out for your moderator. So go ahead. What were you going to say?
Oh, no. I forget what I was going to inject on. I'll give you one for sure, Tony Gonzalez.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say.
Is better than Gronk?
Yes.
No.
Gonzalez, no. Antonio Gates, you know.
No. I don't say Gates.
No.
OG Kellen Winslow kind of defined the way that, you know, tight ends are played now.
No, I got Tony Gonzalez.
Shannon Sharp.
That's close. But no.
If we're going Gonzalez. With the fact that it's a short time, Sterling Sharp would have been, but his career was cut short.
He was a wide receiver, sir. So next question. Keep trying.
No, Sterling. I think Sterling was technically
Sterling Sharp
tight end.
Was a wide receiver, sir.
Was
Sterling
he?
Sharp was. Ask our Wisconsin man on the line.
I'm waiting for PC to pop in.
Not a single snap at tight end.
Really? I always thought he was a tight end, too.
No, oh, he's a wide receiver. Good God, he had 100 receptions and shit like that.
And was a damn good wide receiver for
that. I mean, yeah, he was. Okay, so.
If Sterling Sharp didn't have a neck injury, he'd be the second best receiver ever.
Yeah, barely. Like, even Shannon Sharp says that. And Shannon Sharp is a Hall of Famer, and
You think Sterling would have edged out T.O.? Or Moss? Because T.O. and Moss are usually the argument for number two.
Well, the problem with Moss is Moss doesn't have the consistency. Like, talent-wise, Moss is the greatest ever at that position. But he took plays off, and he doesn't – his number-wise, he just took plays off, so –
That's the one thing you could always bring up for T.O. is T.O. fought hard through all his yards. Like, he came across the middle. He was usually on every play he was there. He just didn't always get the ball. And then
issues sometimes, too, as well.
Earlier and, in I his mean, career, you're correct. Yes. Here.
Like, we're literally talking about GOATs, so we're nitpicking. I'm not saying any of these guys aren't great. Like, everybody that we've named thus far, with the exception of Jason Witten, is an all-time great. So we're
We just mentioned him for coming out of retirement. Nobody mentioned him above Gronk.
No. I'm just making sure that we're
copacetic on that one.
Oh no, for sure. I don't want to think I'm shitting on anybody. We're nitpicking here because we're talking about GOATs. That's all.
So Sterling Sharp did not get played his rookie season because he was a rookie. His second year, he had Lynn Dickey, I believe, 89, maybe it was Mikowski's first good year. I'm not sure.
I think that was
his only good year.
So he had
Mikowski had a couple decent years.
He had 90
until Favre stepped in.
He had 90 catches for 1,400 yards plus and 12 touchdowns. Then he had nobody for the next 2 years, but he still caught over 2,000 yards with the passes for 10 touchdowns. Then he got Brett Favre, and he had 108 catches for 1,461 and 13 touchdowns, 112 catches for 1,274 and 11 touchdowns, and 94 catches for 1,100 yards and 18 touchdowns, and he had to retire after 7 seasons because of a neck injury.
I mean, T.O. had a season with 18, or T.O. or Moss. Moss had like 21, but T.O. had 18.
But I mean,
so are you trying to low-key say that if Sterling stayed healthy that the Packers would have beat the Broncos in that one Super Bowl and Favre would have two instead of Elway?
Sterling Sharp was the first receiver to start having those kind of statistics. And it was early on when they still allowed pass interference.
Oh, I know Shannon said Sterling better.
Sharp, a three-time Super Bowl champion, Hall of Famer, said that he's the second-best football player in his family.
Oh, yeah, I've heard him say that plenty of times, too, yeah.
Mm-hmm. On a side note, Sterling Sharp was actually a really good analyst. I don't know why he stopped doing that shit.
He hated the media.
Did he stop? Oh. I thought maybe he was just on the HBO show or whatever that
NFL Network early on.
He was, and then I thought maybe he moved around.
He was on ESPN as well, though, and he was really good on there.
Like, Jamie Dukes was on the NFL Network, and he wasn't awful.
He was on ESPN. Because I remember he was actually on ESPN when the Broncos won the Super Bowl. So, you know, he was all excited for his brother and shit like that. So, yeah. Yeah.
You're right.
He's on there for a few years.
But yeah, there's a couple people that fall into obscurity. Like Jamie Dukes was in the early beginnings of the NFL Network, and I thought he was pretty solid, and then he kind of fell off, and I don't remember hearing if it was like legal reasons or just hating anything. You know, like Warren Sapp had the whole issue with, you know, the prostitutes.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's what kind of the coke, yeah. But that, oh, coke. I wasn't supposed to say that out loud. What was that?
Well, I mean, the prostitutes are what got him kicked off of, ESPN and NFL Network or whatever it was. So, yeah. So I wasn't just sure if they went to, one of those Showtime or HBO fucking episode show, whatever the fuck they are.
But with all due respect to Tony Gonzalez, with all due respect to Shannon Sharp, who I absolutely love, he's a national treasure and should be protected by all costs. Gronk is the GOAT. You can make an argument for Kellen Winslow Sr., man. It'd be like an Ozzie Newsome or something like that. You can make the argument for them because the game changed. So they didn't get as, you know, so and when they played the game, there wasn't as much opportunities for tight ends to catch balls and stuff like that. But Gronk was, he's the GOAT, man. He's a game changer. He is just his size, his athleticism, and the way that he changed the game. He's the GOAT at that position. And I'll fight you about it.
You can. That's fine.
I just like your comment about tight ends trying to catch balls.
Oh, God.
Pop. That was great.
You said it.
Pop. So, yes, we put a retirement with an asterisk. He's going to do something with the WWE just because that's in tune with his personality. And obviously him and Mojo are really good friends. So something's going to happen. What? I don't know. Like, hell, he's already done something with WWE, and he wasn't even retired. So, yeah, there's something that's going to be done with WWE. So I would say stay tuned for that because it's going to happen at some point in time. All sure. Right, and since nobody else has anything else to say, I guess we'll wrap this one up for the week. Mr. Blaz, where can the good folks find you?
Asleep, ideally. But, you know, aside from that...
All right,
that,
moving on. So,
Yeah, so aside from being asleep, which I'd like to be, but Twitter, IWC War Chief, to whatever, go. Tony, you're next.
Well, I just want to say, Travis Kelce, we'll see what happens. Find me at PC Tony. You can also hear me on the DWI podcast.
You probably wanted to say Mark Shimura with your Homer ass, didn't you?
No. Just Travis Kelce.
Yes, you did. You wanted to say Mark Shimura. Just say it. You'll feel better.
Don't put words in my mouth.
Or maybe Keith Jackson. Did you want to bring up Keith Jackson?
How about Ed West, the old toolbox, huh?
How about not? You guys can find me at The Real C Platt on Twitter. But more importantly than that, make sure you all go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Pick up your official Chair Shot merchandise. We've got the Jesus Did the Job shirt. If you think Baron Corbin sucks, we've got a shirt for that as well. We've got a lot of old school designs. We've got a lot of new school designs. And if you just enjoy the content that we provide for you week in and week out, day in and day out, all day, a day, at TheChairShot.com, show you guys some love. And your ladies. We've got some ladies on the site as well. Show us some love, man. Support us, please. Please and thank you, and please. Also, if you enjoy what we do and what everybody does on the Chair Shot and you want just a little bit more, make sure you guys go to patreon.com/TheChairShot and become official patrons of TheChairShot.com. Remember, TheChairShot.com, it's not just a website, it's a movement. Does anybody have any parting thoughts that are just burning the tip of their tongue that they have to get off?
No.
All right, well, RIP to Big Baller Brad. It seems to have crashed and burned, and I'm a little upset about that because I knew what he was trying to do. Unfortunately, he didn't necessarily have the business acumen to pull it off, but...
That's polite.
I fox with LeVar Ball. I fox with him hard.
Good for you, but that's polite.
I really wanted it to work, man, but, you know, shout out to them. The good thing is that somebody... You know, the genie has been let out the bottle, and you can't put Pandora back in the box. So somebody is going to learn from their mistakes. They're going to recalibrate, and they're going to make that come to fruition. So that is going to happen, even though I got a lot I could do on that. And maybe that should be a Patreon show. Like, there's a lot
come
I got to say
fruition?
About that. And that, say that again.
Your Patreon show come to fruition.
Sure, let's go for that. Like, cause there's a lot of meat on that bone, and there's a lot of places I want to go to there. Like, we're gonna do that Patreon conversation. I'm not saying we're gonna do it recently, but we're gonna do that because I'm gonna talk about LeVar Ball. I'm gonna talk about the NBA expanding to Africa, and I'm even gonna bring up Major League Baseball in that motherfucking rant. Like, all those things can happen, and so that's going to be on Patreon at some particular point in time. But anyway,
that's all gonna be a part of our NBA playoff preview.
Okay, I like how you said that. That's okay. Apparently, we're doing an NBA playoff preview on Patreon. Okay, cool. That's what that does. All right.
Me and you.
All right. That's what's up, man.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out TheChairShot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
So for Andrew Snowflake Balls Blaz, for the commish, Dr. PC Tunney, I'm Mr. Velvet Pipes, Christopher Platt. This episode was a hell of a lot better than last week, and I appreciate everybody for coming back after last week. Until next week, shalom. Hit it, Carly. You had one eye in the mirror as you watched yourself go by, and all the girls seemed to say, be your partner, they be your partner, and so you probably think this song is about you, cause it is. It's about you, and it is.
You keep on kissing babies and hugging fat girls.
Pop.